The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Filtered with me, Jim Norton.
Wait, you just said UFC Filtered.
Did I?
Yeah.
Let's start over. I'm fucking half asleep. I like that. On today's show, you have my pal Matt Serra.
Hi.
And me talking to Cowboy Cerrone. He calls in. His dogs are involved. And we have Bob Saget on the phone.
What a show.
He may finish it here.
UFC and Digital Media present UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra, powered by Digital Media. Find your voice. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
You hear that? Me smacking my lips?
I did. I like it. It's a good way to start.
I love espresso. I love it. Sorry to mosey in here like I got all the time in the world.
You're fine.
I didn't realize it was so late.
You come in whenever you want. I always walk in late. Today's the first day I was actually early.
And I feel bad. I'm wearing a tank top, and you're facing my mutant arm. You notice this one's... I showed you my arms before.
I wouldn't have noticed that if you... But it doesn't diminish your strength at all
No, it doesn't hurt at all. It doesn't mess with that, but I look a little bit like a mutant on my right side. I used to have two of those. I showed you. Look at that fucking thing.
Yeah.
That's a good-looking arm.
No one notices
that. No one notices it. I got a mutant arm, but it's very freeing. And more importantly I don't know. I'm a dangerous guy, whether I'm defined or not. What's new?
I'm okay, man. I didn't sleep well last night, so I'm fucking tired. We got Cowboy calling in 5 minutes, which I'm very psyched that we got Cowboy on the
phone. Yeah, and Cowboy's, he's fighting Rick Story, man. And I'm such a moron. I mean, everybody's so excited about the fight with Connor and Diaz this weekend.
I'm really
the undercard. I didn't even know Cowboy's fighting up until recently. He's fighting Rick Story, which is a tough fight, man. Rick Story's a tough dude.
Yeah, I watched he's a very, very tough dude. And that
you familiar with him or no?
Yeah, yeah. I just watched I think he handed Gunnar Nelson his first loss. And it's so funny when you watch it. I thought he was very dominant in that fight, and it was once again
not his first. He lost to Damian Meyer also. Connor.
Did he really?
Gunnar lost.
Why did I think that was his first loss?
I don't know.
I'm probably an idiot. That's why. That's why I have an answer.
I just know because I watched his fight with.
Which loss was first?
I watched Gunnar Nelson. Gunnar Nelson lost to Damian Meyer
first. Okay.
Yeah.
No, Rick Story was his first loss.
Oh, was?
Oh, wait, hold on.
Okay.
Let's go over that again. Who and where?
Rick Story did hand Gunnar Nelson his first loss. Am I correct?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, he heard Gunnar. Oh, okay. What did I say?
You said that Damian Maia beat Gunnar Nelson.
He did. I guess that was after that.
He did. It was a Rick Story loss, then he beat Brandon Thatch, and then he lost to Damian Maia.
Okay. So I was saying during the Gunnar Nelson fight, I thought he dominated that fight, Rick Story. I thought he was tenacious. I mean, Gunnar Nelson was really good early on, but I thought it was clearly a win, and it was another fucking split decision. But like one of the judges is 49-46. I'm like, maybe I just don't see it well, but I don't understand how some of these judges see it and a split decision.
You know what's funny with that Gunnar Nelson? First of all, what that kid's a
does he remind you of Connor the way he fights a little bit? That weird open stance.
They're boys, no?
Aren't they? Is that a karate stance? I don't understand.
Yeah, he's got
that weird open. He reminds me of Connor.
But he's got excellent jiu-jitsu. And it's funny. He actually tweeted a picture of myself. It was him, and I remember this too. It was in Manchester, England. And the picture is him rolling with Eddie Bravo. You know Eddie Bravo?
Sure. He's Joe's instructor.
Yeah, it's Joe's buddy. And this was in Manchester. And I'm in the background, like in the doorway. It was in a hotel room in Manchester. And I was about to go out to get lunch with, I just got the title. It must have been UFC 70. Because I was, I just won the title and I went over to Manchester just to chill and whatnot. And we were just afterwards, I was waiting to go out to eat with, me, Eddie and Joe. Joe Rogan. We're going to go get some lunch somewhere in town. So I was waiting. Eddie wanted to get a sweat out, so he was rolling with some kids. One of them, that one kid, was actually Gunnar Nelson.
Oh.
So yeah, that's what I'm getting at. I know it's a long, but it's funny because it threw me. I'm like, holy! I'm like, man, that feels like it was yesterday. Now this kid that he was rolling with in the dressing room is in the UFC and doing well. So it's funny, man.
Well, someone just tweeted a photo on Instagram, a photo of me at the Stress Factory Comedy Club. And in the background is Mickey Gall. He's in the photo with it.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, apparently he was a fan and he had come to see my stand-up. So the guy tweeted the photo and he put a circle. He goes, Mickey Gall. And he goes, Mickey, we'll talk to you guys.
When is that fight coming up, by the way?
That is coming up, I think, at 2:03.
Oh, wow.
I think we have
a cowboy coming in here.
Yes, he's calling in. Hello.
Hello.
Cowboy?
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy. It's Jim Norton and Matt Sarah. How are you?
What's up, cowboy?
What's going on, guys?
Where are you now?
Sitting on Lake Mead.
What are you on, a jet ski, a boogie board? What do you got going on this morning, man?
Yeah, I've been out since 5 o'clock this morning out wakeboard.
Man, he's always doing something.
Early bird gets the worm, baby.
Early bird gets the worm. No, that's true, man. Dude, you're always doing something. Well, let me tell you, what's your hobbies with all the, whatever you want to call it, the extreme sports? You do a lot of crazy shit. Do you go through stages of you're into a certain thing right now, or is it a seasonal thing, or... Like, man, I'm really into fucking...
definitely seasonal.
It's definitely seasonal?
Definitely a season. I mean, come... here in Vegas, we can run the boat till about October, but, man, September kind of is the end of boat season. It gets real cold, so, we're kind of dwelling the end of wakeboarding season, but then the funny thing about that water is it turns into snow, and then we go play on it, so...
Let me ask you, with all the playing on the boards, do you do the snowboarding also?
Yeah, snowboard, but I like snowmobiling. That's my all-time favorite thing to do.
Yeah, see, that's something I could try. I tried that snowboarding, and I said, you know what, man? If I, maybe like in my 20s or even early 30s, but dude, fuck that over 40 snowboarding shit. You'd have to break your ass 1,000 times to get good at that, no? It takes time.
Man, I think anything takes time, but I feel like I'm blessed as a natural athlete, you know? So I kind of always was good at doing weird, crazy shit. So, but snowmobiling is my absolute favorite thing to do on the snow, you know? Love it. It's crazy, you know? Like, I just go to the top of that mountain and you just rip it and roar.
What do you like to do that isn't dangerous?
That's a good question, Jimmy.
Yeah, like, what do you like to do that's really relaxing that I could kind of relate to?
I guess that'd be maybe fishing. Like, if the water went to shit when I was out here wakeboarding, we'd just go ahead and maybe try fishing.
Is that kind of how you relax? Like, the one thing you do that's just calming?
Yeah, I guess you could go with that. Sure. Skydiving would probably be the most calming thing I do.
How often do you do that?
Like, internally. Lately, quite often. What? Sorry, my dogs are acting foolish this morning out in the water, so.
How many dogs you got?
I got two lads with me right now, both of my duck hunting dogs.
The closest I came to duck hunting is that duck hunt back in the day with Nintendo.
You ever come out duck hunting with me? I get the birds coming in and...
I'm not that good with a gun, man.
Like, game, and my dogs are laughing at you.
Maybe I'll take you up on that.
All
right. I'd be like my cousin Vinny with that shit. I'd be fucking awful. But yeah, listen...
I've duck hunted, but I do it with a hammer.
He's there walking in a row and he picks them off. We'll bring him in for you. Listen, come on, man. You're fighting. Listen, they're talking about exciting shit. You're fighting this weekend. You got Rick Story, who's also a fucking monster. He's definitely an obstacle. What are we feeling, man? I know you guys are big with fucking game plans. Are you going to be more of just a feeling it out type of guy? You got some go-to shit. I'm not talking about giving away your strategy, but...
You know, Rick, one-dimensional fighter, man. He's kind of the old school mentality. He's the old brawler, man. He's wrestling against the cage. He's kind of rudimentary, I'd like to say. His jiu-jitsu is not really there at all, and the striking is just like a real looping punch, overhand kind of guy. So kind of a tailor-made fight for me to go out there and showcase my skills, you know. Take him down if I want, push the pressure, knees, head kicks are all there.
Well, we were talking about the Gunnar Nelson fight earlier, and it seemed like every time, like Nelson seemed to want to take him down, but it just wasn't working out. It seemed like every time he came in, he was paying for it. So are you kind of worried you won't be able to get in?
No, I'd rather stand and fight. So it's not my game plan to take him down. So I plan on rocking, stopping, roboting his ass.
And why the move to welterweight?
Oh, why not?
Did you just get sick of cutting?
No, I mean, I'm going back to 55 after this is all said and done. I'm gonna take this fight right now and then go to 55 next. Right after this fight, I'm trying to go to New York. I'm trying to get New York at 55.
Oh, man.
Well, who do you want to fight at 55?
Eddie Alvarez.
Well, shit, man. I mean, not for nothing. I mean, you did hand him his. You welcomed him to the UFC, didn't you? Weren't you his first fight?
Yeah, that's I did.
He welcomed him, gave him his first loss.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, shit. That's something that could be very exciting. But obviously, this weekend with Rick Story. I mean, Rick Story. When that guy shows up, he shows up hard. So I mean, you sound like you got him definitely.
Absolutely.
Figured
I'm
out.
Not by any means. Yeah, definitely not overlooking anybody. You know, looking. I'm just going out there to have fun, man. You know that, brother. I like thoroughly enjoy what I do.
Nah, so, dude, you live a rich life, man. And I don't mean rich as in fucking dollar bills. I'm saying you enjoy life to the fullest. I'm always everything you're doing, man, with the with all your fucking extreme sports and you're fucking probably sipping Mountain Dew right now. I mean, you're having a blast, aren't you?
It's the only way to live, I think.
Do you have no desire?
Let's talk about you and Sturgis. How did you enjoy it? How did you enjoy your sidecar riding?
Oh, let me tell you something. You know what it was? You've been riding motorcycles for a long time or no?
Oh, yeah, for a long time.
Yeah, man. Not me. I have no clue. And they wanted me to do the 2-day course. And I'm like, you know, the best thing about if I do pass that course, which I might have, though, I probably would have done if I put my mind to it. But I'm like, sure. You know, then what? Then I get to go. They put me on a fucking bike and I got to ride for a fucking hour. I mean, I'd kill myself. So I don't know, man. You put me on a ball for a couple of seconds. You make me wrestle a bear. I'm down with all that shit, but don't put me in a fucking classroom. I don't want to learn shit. I don't want to learn how to ride a bike. I don't want to learn how to do that. I don't want to learn how to snowboard. I mean, there's certain things. I'll just stick to my fucking jiu-jitsu, my kimuras, and fucking once in a while do some wacky shit, man. What about that stand-up comedy? Let me tell you something, cowboy. That was a fucking rush when I had to. I don't know if you watched the show at all, the Looking for a Fight.
Yeah, sure.
I know you told me you enjoy it. That's why I brought it up, so I actually knew the answer to that. But when that was one of the biggest rushes I ever did. Did you ever think about trying something like that or not at all?
Well, I'm not very funny, so it wouldn't work very well for me.
You never know, man. Either is fucking Dana. Dana fucking killed it up there. Nah, Dana actually could be funny,
but he
though.
He said, anybody who laughs, I'm giving you free 200 tickets.
He, you know what? He did fucking win them over right away, didn't he? That fucking guy. Oh, shit, Jimmy. I'm having a good time.
I am, cowboy. Too.
So, man, you have no preference whether it's lightweight, welterweight. I mean, whichever is the money fight or the more exciting fight or they're actually offering you. Is that what's going down?
I just love it, man. You know, it's something that I thoroughly enjoy doing. So I don't care.
You fight more often than most people do. Like, it seems like every other card you're on.
Yeah, he gets an average of 4 fights a year, I believe. Yeah.
I love making money. You know what I mean? That's the thing I like the most.
He's got to fund this lifestyle of fucking extreme fucking sports.
Yeah, do you lead a pretty lavish lifestyle? I mean, or are you a saver?
No, I don't save anything.
You don't save it?
I get it.
That's fucking good.
As soon as you get it, it's out the door.
That's good, no?
I'm paying my taxes and I'm spending the rest. So that's fun, you know? It's like the favorite thing to do is go out like, here we are. Yeah, getting up at 5 in the morning sucks, but get out here and go in this water and have a good time and I don't know. Love it.
How long did you skydive before you actually did it by yourself?
First time.
How did you do that? I thought you had to have somebody attached to you the first time.
No, you had to take a big course and do much studying and prove that I had the skill set to do it.
Is it an automatic parachute or like if you don't pull the cord, you're dead?
Well, I had an instructor assist, so basically they flew with me. If I didn't pull the parachute, they would have pulled it for me.
Oh, okay. So I heard, is it hard to breathe? I asked somebody else. I think it was it Yair Rodriguez that skydives? And it just scares me to think that you won't be able to breathe with all that air rushing into your face.
Oh, no, you can breathe just fine.
You got any thoughts on Connor, Nate?
Nate, I mean, you can't. Connor says he hired the best team, spent $300,000, whatever bullshit he's fucking rambling on like usual, though. But you can't learn 10 years of jiu-jitsu in fucking 3 months, man. You know that.
Dude, that's...
I can't come to you and say, hey, I fucking don't know anything. I need you to teach me. And you'll be like, well, we got some basics we'll work on, but maybe we can work only rear naked choke defense, and maybe you'll defend it for 30 seconds. You know what I mean? Like, I can get you there. But Nate is a black belt. He has 10 years of every situation on the ground, right? So that's like second nature for him. For somebody, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, you can't just overnight learn that.
And like anything else, like any other art, especially in jiu-jitsu, like with, because it's based on just timing and technique, and it's just you need to get that timing, the time in on the mat. That's something that you can never, you know, you can't take a crash course on that. You're not getting that. That's not a quick fix. That's just fucking years of being on the mat, escaping arm locks, putting on arm locks, getting that timing down. That's something you can't rush. It's impossible. So that's something money can't buy. You can't speed that process up. So that is fucking.
You know, I think Connor, striking is great. You know, of course, your boxing was beautiful. So, but my thing, if you're going to game plan against Diaz, why would you go and try and outbox the two guys that have the greatest hands boxing, I'm talking boxing only, in the UFC? Why would you want to box with the boxers? You know what I mean? Like, holy shit, right? So if I was Connor, I'd be trying to spin, and I'd be trying to kick, and I'd be trying to, you know, really, really push the pressure with Nate. But those guys are so good at walking forward in punches and bunches, man. And I don't know. I don't know what Connor's going to do. I think, you know, that big, fast-talking ass is going to get him in trouble.
It is interesting. I'm interested to see his game plan or strategy right off the bat, because I'm thinking, is he going to just try to work that body? I mean, how is he going to really slow down this guy's pace? Because once they get the momentum going, when I say them, I mean the Diaz bros, but in this case, Nate, like,
yeah,
shoot, man, you know, and he starts getting that distance down. I mean, and again, I don't recommend Connor doing a takedown either, because Nate's got that guard. You can't chill in that guy's guard at all. So that's going to add to his stress. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing the tactics that Connor uses, that all that money's buying. Yeah, let's see how much that $300,000 is buying with the game plan, and motherfucker. It's interesting shit.
I don't spend money like that. Nah, yeah. Hell, I have $300,000. Come on, man. I'll buy us a jet, and we'll all jump out in a convertible, and then pull the shoes at the last second. I'm gonna waste some money on fun shit.
I'll take that trip. What else, Jimmy? I'm excited for this. Listen, it's just another fight on this amazing card that I got a fucking. I'm very excited about.
Yeah, good luck, man. Good luck on.
Yeah, Cowboy.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I mean, this is what I do. Like I said, there's nothing else in the world that I enjoy doing more. You know, that feeling that you get when you're scared and you're worried about letting people down, and you feel like you're going to cry. It's the only time, like, as a man, you feel like you cheer up. You're like, why am I crying? I have so much emotion in my body. I don't even know what to do with, you know? And you go out there and you fight, and the feeling that they raise your hand of victory in front of millions of people, it can't be touched.
Dude, exactly.
I'm like a crackhead.
100%.
Well, do you feel like you're going to cry a lot? I can't picture you doing that. Are you, like, an emotional person?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's crazy. That's what I get back there, and you're, like, cheered up, and you're like, you have so much of an emotional roller coaster ride of my adrenaline's peaking, it's down, and you put on a song, you get pumped up, but you still have 20 minutes, and then you're like, oh, shit, now I'm sweating, now I didn't sweat, now I got to work harder. It's like there's so much going on, and trying to find the perfect recipe to be ready to make the walk and not let your adrenaline overcome and just get you so amped that you just have a dump. You know, it's a weird science. And people, they don't understand that, you know, the guys sitting on the couch are like, just go out there and do your thing. Like, man, I wish it was that easy. I wish the science behind it could just not be there.
It's funny, man. I know that exact feeling. And that feeling, that anxiety is just, I say it's just the feeling of being alive. It's the no other feeling. And especially when it goes your way. It's just, it's fucking orgasmic. I mean, it's just such an amazing feeling that afterwards guys do something to try to cap to when they're done fighting, and take it from a guy that's done fighting, it's almost like they want to do something to feel something similar. You know what I mean? Like the stuff I'm doing on Looking for a Fight, like the closest thing, I mean, the bull riding, it's like a similar feeling, but never quite there. You know what I mean? Because it's that. I'm sure everything doing, from jumping out of a plane to everything else you're doing, which is wild, it might be insane and intense, but it's not quite like that combat. You know what I mean? No. Of fighting in that cage.
No way. Absolutely.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. I want to come back. No, I'm only kidding. I'm just, you got me hyped up, Cowboy. Shit. Now I'm going to go home and just.
It's good.
On the train, I'm watching my fucking GSP and
treat. Retesting those feelings, man. That's good. Getting into them. You know?
Feeling that
you can't even explain to somebody. I really think, like, when you talk to people, they're like, have you ever been in a fight in your life? And they're like, well, no. And it's like, man, I feel like everybody should be at least once in their life have to square, where I'll be on the side of the road or a parking lot. I feel like everyone needs to know, are they a fight or a flight kind of person? Like,
that's true.
You don't know. You talk big. Everyone talks the big game until y'all want to do wolf shit, until it's time to be a fucking wolf. You know what I mean? And then are you or aren't you? That's kind of you know, my outlook on it.
Well, some of us know that we're not wolves.
You never know.
Like, I know I'm not a wolf.
Jimmy knows he's not a fucking wolf.
No, I wish I was.
Right? Dude, but I'm a fucking wolf, Jimmy. If somebody messes with you, I bite their fucking head off. Okay, Jimmy? That. You're my guy.
I like how
you're
tough
over the neck.
But no, man, I know the feeling, man, and it's a great feeling, and hopefully you're going to feel that feeling this weekend, man, and good luck. All the best of luck to you, brother.
You got it, guys. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, take Cowboy. Care, man. Take care, homie.
From Lake Mead, boys. From Lake Mead. Cowboy out.
All right, later, man.
This is UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Matt and I both travel a lot.
That's true.
So we don't have time to sit home and read for 12 hours at a clip. We don't have the time, nor do we have the emotional intelligence to do
or
that.
Or ability, some of us.
But there is a great alternative, audible.com. I'm going to hook you up with a great way to grab audiobook for yourself, for the commute on a plane or at the beach or whatever's convenient. Just remember this code, UFC, and you can get a free book from Audible. Audible's offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Now you're thinking, Jim, I don't know what book to pick. Of course you're thinking that. Let me suggest this one for you. It's a hilarious book called Happy Endings. It's a book by Jim Norton, a mediocre, cranky comic. Just go to audible.com/UFC and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free of charge and then start listening. It's that easy. You go to audible.com/UFC. That's audible.com/UFC. Get started today.
I'm sorry. I'm looking, and I wanted to ask you. The other day, you brought up that we were talking about this.
Sure.
Talking about the audio, audible, and what is a zilch?
It's a zero. It's a goose egg. Like it's a nothing.
Oh, zilch.
Zilch. Yes.
Oh.
The book is called Happy Endings: The Tales of a Meaty-Breasted Zilch.
Oh, a zilch.
Like a nothing. I originally wanted
maybe the meaty breasted before it threw me off, like a meaty breasted loser.
Because I had bosoms, and the original title of my book was going to be The Tales of a Meaty Breasted Zilch, and Simon Spotlight pushed me on Happy Endings. They're like, it's easier to, and I didn't want it because to me it sounded too easy, but then I went with it, and they were right. It was easier to say Happy Endings. And you can hear it on Audible. It's got an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, comedy, news, and more of the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, magazine and newspaper publishers, entertainers, and business information providers. Free apps are available for the iPad, Android, iPhone, and Windows iPhone or Windows Phone. There is no Windows iPhone. So grab your free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership by going to audible.com/UFC. That is audible.com/UFC. Do it, you silly goose.
What do we got going on now?
Well, we got Bob Saget calling in.
Bob Saget.
I like Bob because he's unique.
Yeah. What else is unique, Bo?
Well, you are.
You
don't walk like everyone else. You don't talk like everyone else.
I got swag.
You know what you do like everyone else?
What?
Well, you don't sleep like everyone else.
Fuck! You kept me in suspense. I didn't know where we were going.
So why is your mattress one size fit all?
It shouldn't be that way.
Because a truly customized mattress is going to cost you $5,000 to $10,000. That's why. True. Until now, Matt.
Oh, man.
Go to helixsleep.com. Answer a few simple questions. They're going to run a 3D biomechanical model of your body through a proprietary algorithm they develop with the help of the world's leading ergonomics and biomechanics experts. The result, the most comfortable mattress you have ever slept on.
Oh my goodness.
Helix customers report a 30% improvement in overall sleep quality. Oh. And for couples, they customize each side of the mattress, which is so good because this way you're not disturbing each other all the time or bitching and moaning. Your mattress arrives at your door in about a week, shipping 100% free. And that's why everyone from Forbes to GQ are still talking about Helix Sleep. You have 100 nights to try it out. And if you don't love it, they're going to pick it up for free and give you a 100% refund, no questions asked. HelixSleep.com/UFC. Get $50 off your order. That's HelixSleep.com/UFC. HelixSleep.com/UFC.
Word.
To get $50 off your order.
Word.
Don't be a goose.
The shipping?
Free.
Okay, good. What were we just talking about before that? I finished my espresso. What's that, Chris?
Oh, I'm sorry. You were talking about Mickey Gall, actually. Was that one of your shows?
He was at one of my shows. And so I think we have him coming on, though.
Yeah.
Next week?
I'm not sure if it's next week, couple weeks, but he'll be in before his fight.
Oh, yeah. Right. He's not fighting on.
What are you talking about? That must have been, that was 3 hours ago.
Were you talking about your photo with Gunnar Nelson? And I was talking about Mickey Gall.
We were talking about that before the other thing.
And then the photo.
And then Bob Saget's going to call in. And the thing with Bob Saget, anything else with the Mickey Gall thing?
No, that was it. I love Bob Saget.
That's the Chris the producer interjected with that. I'm only kidding.
He's annoyed at me, and I don't blame him. For being cranky. I
don't mind if you're cranky. I try to bring you, because it's fun, because I try to bring you back.
And I love Matt
Saget. Jimmy, I like Jimmy so much. Bob Saget. Now, listen, I watch this show. I see that guy every fucking night because my kids now, my wife loved the whole Full House thing. It's on Netflix. My kids watch it now. Let me tell you about that fucking Full House. Well, first, you know, I mean, for any adult, when you fucking kill yourself watching the thing. But I mean, but it is a good show for certain people. Love that thing. And, you know, I got little kids. What the fuck, man? I'm thinking, I got to be safe with Full House. The makeout parties and this one. Then next thing you know, the other one's fucking anorexic and she's fucking passing out on the fucking treadmill. Well, I don't need this shit.
And the Olsen twins are not even in it.
The Olsen, oh, that's the new one.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the old one?
I'm thinking the old one. The old one was pretty, you know, I don't need to deal with these life lessons right now.
I never watched the old one. I never watched the old one.
Well, don't get into it now.
No, it's probably a little creepy now.
Hold on 1 second. I have to go into the desert. If my seltzer is going to get flat if I don't get the cap for this thing.
It's hilarious. Matt's actually reaching down. Matt actually told me just to hold the Ford while he leaned down and picked up a cat. He's back already.
Fucking, I'm back, guys. I didn't have that. Really wasn't as bad as
literally. You acted like you were going down to the store to get a new seltzer.
I didn't know.
Just talk. I don't want my seltzer to go flat.
I didn't know I could get under the table. What's wrong with you? I'm more limber than I look, Jim Norton. I got underneath there.
How's your seltzer? I can't drink seltzer anymore.
I love it. You know what it is? I trained this morning with one of my black belts, Jedi Josh Madama from Tom's River. I'm giving that guy a shout out because he has a school out there. But I trained with that dude. I knew this guy for 15 years training. And he's attacking my legs. I'm attacking his shoulders, ripping fucking Kimuras. You know what a Kimura is? You know this is a straight arm lock?
Yes.
It's when it's bent. Yeah. And I'm not...
No.
Oh, I don't want to... I'm not fucking trying to... I don't know about...
I'm not
offended. I don't know if you knew that. I thought you were like,
Of course.
I know a Kimura and numbnuts.
No, I don't mean like that.
UFC unfiltered fuckface. No, I'm kidding. And, you know, you're trying to get the hand to touch the back of the head and it takes the fucking shoulder out of the socket there. Oh, I feel so powerful.
It looks awful.
Really awful. You know what it is, man? It's so funny, man. With jiu-jitsu, I could be doing the same certain moves for like 20 years, but you find different ways to apply them and set them up. And lately I've been on a Kimura craze, just having guys come, because Kimuras, especially when you get a dominant position and guys are in a scramble and they're trying to get out and get up and attack you, they're extending. So they're leaving those arms out. So lately I've been getting cross-eyed and inviting the guy up with an underhook, if that makes sense to you, my arms mm-hmm. under the armpit. So when they come up, I sit through and I meet them and I'm locking up this Kimura and I'm just having fun with it.
I'm amazed that it's a second instinct. That's like when you guys train or you fight, I'm amazed with the lack of thought sometimes, just knowing where to go next when you have to just react. I watched one of Cowboys all fights. It was Alex, I think Oliveira when he triangle.
It was beautiful.
I mean, it was just
such a beautiful thing about jiu-jitsu. It's all based on timing and leverage and technique. So, man, you got people. Some of my best guys, if I brought a lineup of like three of my guys, two of them could look like fucking axe murderers. One's a beefcake, and I could put the skinniest guy in the middle. That guy. One of my guys is the most dangerous guy. He looks like fucking Peter Parker from fucking Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
Oh, String Bean. One of my guys, Jason Rao, one of my black belts. That guy, I gotta get that guy on the bigger circuit now because he's just taking limbs and if you look at him, listen, some guys are made for the jiu-jitsu competitions and not so much mixed martial arts, but for just the grappling realm, man, you look at some of these guys, they look like String Beans and they're the most dangerous guys.
We have big news in the...
Do we?
Well, I mean, it's happening. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. Well,
let me look at what you're looking at.
Well, it's been all over.
Wait, hold on. This is the audible ad.
We played a clip the other day about John Jones, and no one can comment officially because we just don't... No one knows.
No one knows.
Jones knows, and maybe Dana
Jones
knows.
Jones knows.
But no one has told us. But it looks like... He must have good news, and it must be good, or Dana wouldn't say it looks good.
He sounds confident.
What do you think it is?
Then we're just going to jump out and start guessing. I don't know. I mean, I think that for them to be now, everybody's just waiting in suspense. But for Dana to even to say, what Dana say?
According to Dana said,
isn't Dana coming on soon?
Yes, on Monday. On like, Jim Rome's show, he said, well, it's coming back now that it looks like he did not take the supplement that everyone thought he took. We'll see how things play out. I'll let this thing play out, and if that's true, that's what USADA and the Nevada State Athletic Commission say happened. It could look good for John Jones. Then Dana said he didn't get a bum rap. He definitely didn't get a bum rap, but the substance that he was on, it was a pill that you take when you're coming off the steroids. But this thing is apparently in other things. John took something else.
That's where it gets sticky.
Where he doesn't come off clean is that you have to tell USADA everything that you put in your body leading up to the fight, and he did not. So then again, that's where maybe that's where Tim Means got fucked up. I don't know exactly what happened with Tim Means, but it could be one of those things where Jones just took something. And again, we have speculated dick pills. Speculation, but maybe you don't think to tell them that.
Did you ever take
the... And again,
Did you ever take the cock pills at the gas station?
Yes, I've taken every kind of cock pill you can take.
Yeah.
For any,
some of them race your heart too much,
dude,
no?
If I'm going to slow dance with somebody, I take a dick pill. I love a dick pill. It does
give it a little extra girth, a little extra blood down there.
It makes your dick feel like a dick should feel. Like, oh, that's what it's like to be male. Ah. So I'm getting older. Yeah. My dick's like a fucking wrinkled little pig's tail. I suck. I should chop it off and throw it in the street.
Oh, hold on. I'm lightheaded. Oh, shoot.
You ever have your dick not get hard? Sometimes I want to just bash my dick with a hammer and flush it down the toilet.
I just thought of, what's Winnie the Pig's friend? No, Winnie the Pig?
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh.
No, Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pig. No.
Oh, that sounds like one of my late night adventures before. Winnie the Pig. Last call. Where's Winnie the Pig? I'm only
kidding. But, no, she was from the Wonder Years.
Oh, man, I had a crush on her as a kid. Winnie. Right? With fucking Fred Savage. Holy fuck. His first kiss. What the fuck are we talking about? What's Pink Little Piglet.
I talk about my dick being like a nice...
Like little piglet's tail.
I love a nice dick pill, man.
Fuck. Yeah, it's nothing.
I have no reason... By the way, I have no reason to say that other than it's speculation. Because you hear that those things sometimes have weird shit in them.
Dude, I'm crying. I don't know why I'm crying. You're fucking a funny bastard. That's why.
Thank you very much.
Oh, shit. Why? Am I just immature?
No,
yeah, I think I am. I gotta be. I'm fucking. I'm 42. I laugh at fucking farts and fucking cock
Every
pills.
Every male does.
Every guy laughs. Why is a burp not funny and a fart's fucking hysterical?
Huh? Because one is so socially repulsive, and one in certain customs is a way of saying I had a great dinner. Like a burp in some cultures, like wow, he enjoyed his meal.
Really?
And a burp is
what
something.
What fucking culture
we do.
Is that?
I don't know.
I want to know that one.
But we do it.
I'll show up to that fucking restaurant and let some fucking rip.
And burping is something that you can do quietly and most people aren't going to know. If you fart quietly, people still know.
Oh, those are the worst. Then you got to look around.
But anyway, the dick... it may have been something else. It may have been a supplement for something else that totally he just forgot to list. Like, sometimes I think that as a fighter, when you take something that's totally disconnected from what you're... You might not think to list it. So I'm hoping for John's sake it's a six-month thing. I bet you, remember when you saw him in the lobby and he said, it's going to be a six-month thing?
Yeah,
he may have thought, oh my fucking God, it couldn't be this thing, could it?
Now,
whatever it was.
He looked like he was taken back, like, man, I don't believe this has happened. He wasn't like, oh, they got me. You could kind of sense that. Like, I sensed that he wasn't, you almost like sensed that he wasn't guilty. That's what I didn't feel like, I didn't see with him. He wasn't sitting there with his head down like, they got me. It was more
I think we've been pretty much pro John Jones for this
whole
thing.
No, hey, listen, man. I wish that guy the best, man, because I think they'll get to the bottom of this.
I never heard that he was a cheater, and I'm happy to hear that he's not. That makes me really relieved, because I like him so much as a fighter.
Let me look through the current topics.
The thing that was always weird about the John Jones getting busted for it, like, of course anybody could be on a supplement or whatever, maybe they think they need the steroids, but he doesn't need it. You know
right.
what I mean? It's like you just watch this guy who's arguably the best ever. It was just
How would you know Chris the producer if he needed a cock pill? You don't know that shit.
Oh, not the cock. I'm saying if he was on steroids.
And I'm not like saying he needs a cock pill either, but I'm probably just doesn't. Saying. Even if you don't, and I'm not saying that's how did this come back to cock pills? That's nothing to do with anything. That's just fucking Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, a cock pill sometimes you don't even need.
No.
There are times where you just want it. Like you just want the feeling.
And we're not saying John Jones took a cock pill.
Not at all. I'm telling you why I do.
We just kind of got on that subject.
I love a good cock pill.
Chris the producer, have you ever took a cock pill?
No, I haven't.
Ah, you fucking pussy.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't need them. I'm the pussy.
Why is that? Why would
one?
I call you a pussy? He's like, I'm the pussy. Oh,
I am because I need one. You don't need a cock pill.
He's like, you old fucks. You guys are over 40. Of course you're popping cock pills like M&Ms. No, listen. You don't. Even if you don't need them, you know, whatever. Sometimes you like the party. I like the party with my wife and make it extra special.
So you take, which ones do you take?
To make it extra special?
Yeah.
I mean, oh yeah, I would take the, what's the one with the C?
Cialis.
Cialis. I always pronounce that shit.
Chris, how come you never took one?
I just never felt, I don't need one.
Chris, the producer, are you married guy?
I'm engaged.
How long have you been with the same girl?
Almost like 8 years.
Eight years?
Together a while, yeah.
No, take a cock pill.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like opposed to trying one. I just don't.
But you never need them?
One. No.
How often do you have sex?
Like a couple times a week.
Well, you do. Okay.
Yeah. Poor Chris, the producer.
That's a fair question. No, I don't know her. It's not like I'm putting a picture face to her. I'm just curious.
I wanted to get some this morning from my wife. I love attacking my wife in the morning.
Oh, I can't but she, stand I, morning I, sex. We've talked about this. I hate
I
it.
I know. You're not a morning. I don't give a fuck, man.
I'm a hunk of shit in the morning.
I like when I wake up and her hair's all over, it's like nice. And I don't know. She wears these shorts. I get fucking nuts.
Right? I admire that.
And I've been
normal.
With my wife a long time. I don't give a shit. And especially the way I wake up. So I took a shower this morning and I'm like, all right, man. And then I'm like, I look at the clock. I'm like, I can get something. I know I can get something in. So I went up there, and then all of a sudden, you know, she was down too. She's like, "Okay, you know, she looks so good." And then my youngest one woke up. I'm like, "Oh, cock block."
You know what I want to do when I wake up? What? I want to fucking brush my teeth, and I want to sit on the toilet and fucking just cause a problem. I want nothing to do with sex in the morning.
I came in here, and it's so embarrassing when you're on the toilet and you think somebody's outside if you're fucking making noise.
I hate it.
You start flushing the toilet so they don't hear your fucking your ass making noise.
Do you know why I think that way? Because when I was a kid in Mrs. Slavik's kindergarten class, my friend Teddy was going duty, and I was trying to get our... Because when you're in kindergarten, the bathroom is in the classroom where I went to school. So I was trying to get the other classmates to come over and listen to him through the door. I'm like, listen to Teddy going to the bathroom.
Did you come out of the womb a creep?
No, she got rich. No, it was just as a joke. I was like, listen to Teddy going to the bathroom. And she called me over. She said, you can't do that. So now I'm scarred. I scarred myself emotionally because I think everybody's listening to me. Shit. Nobody cares.
Fuck yeah. I mean, you. Poor Teddy. Teddy's probably scarred. He probably can't even. He's probably fucking poo shy now and pee shy.
I wonder whatever happened to that kid.
He's probably sitting in a stall crying right now. Oh, yeah. I can't do it. I gotta go home.
I don't even know if he's still alive.
Oh, shit.
I remember he had bees down his shirt. I remember one time we were doing something and there were a couple of bees flew into his shirt.
I was getting attacked by bees this morning for no. I don't know if I drove on a bee's nest. I was behind my school and just two bees came out of nowhere in my fucking face. I swear to God.
You were walking?
No, I parked. I usually park. I go to one of my schools in the morning. I get a training in, and then one of my guys dropped me off at the train to come to the city. You know what I mean? So I like to get a little work in, like I said. So I parked behind my school in Levittown, you know, sarahbjj.com. So I was behind the school, and I fucking get out. I'm getting stuff out of my car, and two bees out of nowhere come right in my fucking face. It's not a big story. It's just you brought up bees out of nowhere. I'm like, what a coincidence. So I'm swatting them away like a big fucking moron, and it looks kind of silly with like a, you know, because I'm not like a little fucking twerp, and you see me like... I'm trying to swat the bees away, and I'm moving around like a fuck. I must look like a big pussy.
Well, bees the best way to handle it.
Well, I don't want to get stung on the way to the fucking
city.
But
the best way to handle it is just to leave them alone, and they won't bother you. That's easier said than done.
Yeah, well, they you know, these guys are looking for fucking trouble.
You know, I go on sometimes to YouTube, and I watch videos of bee swarms. I just do that a lot. It's what you do. When you're really not in a relationship, and you have no friends at 2 a.m.
And you already visited some other websites, so you had nothing else to do.
I have no energy left. Yeah, there's a hardening sock on the sofa next to me. So I'll start looking at bee swarm videos.
There's a stained Sarah BJJ shirt I gave you on the fucking floor.
You ever watch a good bee swarm video? There's people that will walk in, and they actually will. This one guy is called the Bee Man. And he goes in and he smokes out the hives, and he takes hives out of walls with no gloves or anything. It's a psychopath.
It's funny. Sometimes I could watch like disturbing shit, and sometimes I don't want to watch it because it's in your head. Like there's times at night when like my wife's on Facebook, she'll see something fucking disturbing. She'll be like, "Oh look, oh this poor old lady's getting beaten at home," or so she's showing. I'm like, I don't feel like. And she'll be like, "Eh." I'm like, "What? I'm not starting a fight. I don't feel like seeing this old lady get fucking strangled."
Why?
I mean. Why? You put that, I'm saying that you want to get the fucking, don't, it's not the whack off to Jimmy. It was,
no,
I it just, was more fucking, it's more of like just either a kid getting hurt or something like that's disturbing.
Right.
And like we're at night chilling. I don't want that in my head. I'm not to be a, not that I'm going to get nightmares, but I just don't want to fucking, I don't want that. I like to go to sleep. You know what I like? I like fucking comedies. I like going to sleep in a good fucking mood.
Oh, you do?
Oh, shit. Yeah. I watch the same shit over and over
again. What do you watch that puts you to sleep?
Well, I used to, like, lately, what have I been watching lately? You know, I have certain movies that I go through, like, periods that I watch. I think Pineapple Express, I love that movie for some reason.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
That's a fun movie. It's a stoner movie, Seth Rogen, but it's just a fucking...
I love Seth, but I don't think I've seen Pineapple Express. It's just a fun...
Some movies are, like, they have that repeat value. You know what I've been watching a ton of, and I've been even... Is Ted 2. I liked fucking Ted.
I never saw the first
Ted. Oh, dude, it's good. It's fucking, you'd think, oh, a little teddy bear that says a curse word. No, it's funny. If you like some of Seth MacFarlane's, like, comedy, it's fucking great. I think it's, and I like Mark Wahlberg. I think he's fucking, that. What an underrated fucking comedic fucking actor.
I don't watch Family Guy. I like Seth. Do you know Seth was booked on one of the flights on 9/11?
I know.
And he wound up on the one, I think the one that hit the first tower.
Wow.
Seth was booked on that flight, and I believe it was...
He was late. He missed his flight,
yeah. I interviewed him once. I asked him, like, is every part of your life now just gravy? Because it's weird in life that you get to see that absolutely would have been me dead. Like, you know, like, there's always like, well, if I wouldn't have turned, that truck would have hit me. We've all had a few near misses on the highway. But like, how often do you get to see something that 100% you know you would have died? It's like being in a building that just collapses, or I was on a boat that sunk in the middle of the ocean.
No, it's got to be disturbing.
How does that change you?
I don't know, man. I think whenever you even see somebody pass or whatever and stuff like that, it gets a little morbid.
Do you ever see anybody die in person?
I mean, just besides my mother that just passed.
Were you there, though?
She wanted to go at home.
Oh, okay.
So she had cancer, stage 4 cancer, colon cancer. So she wanted to go at home, and that was just this past December.
Right.
You know? And that makes you look at life differently, you know, when you see them. And it's brutal. Let me tell you something. Holy fuck, how brutal. Because you just look, because, you know, they're... You see, like, you have to wait. You know, there's no machines. It's not like you're hearing the bing at the end. So you're like, oh, she's, oh, you know, go ahead, mom. Everybody's around. All the you know, my brothers, my sister, everybody's fucking, it's just, I remember just saying, this is brutal. Over and over, this is fucking brutal.
Well, for her, it's probably good, though, because if you're going to die and at home with people who, you know,
that's how she wanted it, you know? And, but it's just one of those things where you have to, you're still looking at the neck. Oh, no, she's still here because I'm seeing the thing move. Oh, no, it's one of the... Oh, yeah. So you're like...
Did you have a medical person there or no?
Yeah. Well, she was on hospice at the end. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? So it was just the... But it's just the... It just makes you look at... It's just you see where the end is. And you're just like, this... All right. So what else can I do before I end up there? You know what I mean? Like, let me enjoy... You can look at it two different ways. You could be... You know, I mean, shit like that can cripple you, but I mean, it's really your parents alive?
They are.
Yeah, that's good. And it's just a brutal.
Not
brutal
for much situation. Longer if they keep talking shit, though.
Yeah, Jimmy, bring us back. Oh, fuck. People are crying on their fucking radios. But no, but listen, man. Yeah, it does make you just, I look at it like when you see something like that, and, you know, especially with your mother, and you see them go, and oh, you're like, let me just fucking. That, you know, enjoy my time here and have plenty of time with my family and do things I like hanging out with you.
Matt just caught me looking down my pants. This is true. I have my belt lifted.
Mm-hmm. You were looking at your MeUndies.
I was looking. By the way, how about another pair of MeUndies for the kid?
I could use some too.
How about another pair of mediums for Jim Norton?
Chris, the producer, we can get another shipment out.
How about how about this? Get us another shipment.
Yeah, I like that. Foot down. I really got
to
be
too
that
nice.
To I'm way people. Too nice.
Now, whether you're wearing your sweats or suits, whatever you're wearing, you spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear, even when you shower, if you're like me, because you have body shame issues.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of making a statement like Superman's tights under his everyday clothes, your underwear's probably boring. Your underwear.
You just give a raspberry to your underwear?
It's probably boring.
It's probably is boring.
MeUndies is here to change that.
Love MeUndies.
Every pair of MeUndies is made from sustainably sourced modal. It's a fabric twice as soft as cotton. You're all saying this to your radio because you know it. Nothing can describe the fit and feel of MeUndies, but once you try them on, you're going to understand why they're called the world's most comfortable underwear. And if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, A, you're an idiot. B, they're free. No questions asked. MeUndies has dozens of styles and limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear, whether anyone can see them or not. Remember Superman. That's basically saying, look, we don't know if you hook up. We don't know if you have a lot of women that you meet. So if you're going to show them to somebody and be stylish and fun, that's great. But if you're a lonely frump and you're just alone in your house all the time in your underpants, so what? They're comfortable.
Yes.
Shipping's free in the U.S. and Canada.
Free?
Free. You can save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. Get the subscription or a single pair. Get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/UFC. That lets them know where you came from, which is this podcast. That's MeUndies.com/UFC for 20% off your first order. MeUndies.com/UFC. I am not kidding. I'm wearing them. Matt caught me looking down at the front of my pants.
It's true. It's true. It happened.
I'm proud to wear them.
Me too.
But how about a free pair for the kid?
And me.
You know how I want to die? I want to die. This is true.
Why?
I want to die doing something really...
A tranny sitting on your face fucking...
That'd be a nice way to go. But I mean, I want to die
doing... I just threw it out there. What else?
Doing something kinky like that. Like wearing a pair of thigh highs with a girl.
Like David Carradine? That,
yeah.
I don't know. Well, we don't know about that. But, what happened with him?
Yeah, he hung himself by accident while he was jerking off.
But is that... I mean, that couldn't that have been like something...
Did they
try to fight that and say it could have been a cover?
No, why would they? That's the story I'd push out there. Even if I don't die like that, I want them to say I did. But no, I want to die like that with a pair of like thigh highs and something weird happening and a girl sitting on my face.
Really?
This way she has to call the ambulance and explain what was going on. And she, as a live person, I'm dead. I don't give a fuck.
Yo, what do
you want your death to be like a prank?
Yeah, I want it to humiliate a bunch of people.
What do you think?
I want them to snicker when they're putting my body in the fucking...
Hey, did you ever play with one of those real dolls? Like those real... No, why?
They don't do anything for me.
You know, eventually there's going to be robots that we could fucking... Not that we could bang. I wouldn't do that. That's like... Is that cheating if you bang a robot?
No, but eventually
there's gonna
be so realistic.
There's going to be... You ever see Cherry 2000?
No.
That's an old movie. You ever seen that shit?
No,
you're not missing much.
I was going to ask you, how would you feel about like a jiu-jitsu robot? Would you fight it? Would you feel weird about doing that?
That thing malfunctions, you're fucking getting your arms ripped off.
Right.
I don't know about that. It could be something like that. Could be really cool though.
It wouldn't surprise me if eventually they have those.
Yo, back to those big real dolls. Some of them are good looking, and they get them all made up. Now my thing is, let's say you're a fucking... It's not so much having a thing being creepy because it's just a different way of kind of masturbating, I guess. But my thing is, all right. They say you're older, you live alone, and with me and my sister, you have kids. Now, you pass away, and then your kids are cleaning out your house, and they find a cum fucking covered fucking real doll. That could tarnish you the way you're remembered.
Exactly how I want to go out. Do you understand? I want people snickering as they throw a sheet over my face.
Shit.
I want them talking about me in the ambulance. Oh, that creep.
Oh, dude.
What a creep that guy is. He was wearing thigh highs with a real doll. And that girl's crying. She has to explain it.
I don't know what he was doing.
Miss, what happened?
I put thigh highs on him. You want to be like a scene out of Seven.
Oh, man, I want it to be embarrassing. That's the best way to go.
Oh, shit.
So people talk about you. He died doing what he loved.
He died doing what he loved.
I bet he did.
I don't think they say that about the other guy that died when he was hanging himself whacking off.
Carradine, that's exactly what they said.
No, they say, oh, man, the guy from Kung Fu, fuck.
That's the way to go out in a wig and a dress.
The guy from NXS, too, died like that. He was trying to strangle himself. Is that something when you go to strangle
yourself?
Yes,
it's called autoerotic.
Yeah, I'm not into that. I'm not into that stuff. I saw that movie with the Japanese Yakuza guy.
Well, it's about being choked can feel really good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not the kind of choking you do, which is like to knock people out, but a girl's hand on your throat, it's kind of sexy.
Yeah.
You don't like that?
No, I do that. Because I got a big neck, too, so my wife tries to grab my neck. It doesn't make it around. It's funny. But I got a 20-inch neck. She can try to choke me all she wants. She's not getting anywhere.
Yeah, you're hard to choke with a neck like
that,
too. Yeah,
well, I mean, you know, they have the proper technique behind me, but I'm not into that. We're into different things, me and you, Jimmy, when it comes to that shit. Ah, fuck.
But, do you like your nipples pinched? Chris is shaking his head no. I had a girl yesterday tweaking my nipples. I was so happy.
I don't think Chris is shaking his head no. I think he's shaking his head because he's about to puke.
That's not a bad thing.
He's just like, what else are you going to talk about?
No, yeah, I was just, you know, we've gone down our weird road. That's all.
What the fuck? When the hell is it? Oh, by the way, when's Bob Saget calling in? We went down a real weird road. This guy, right now he's making editing points for the fucking to try to filter it.
There's none of this
unfiltered fuckface.
I think none of this should come out. None of this, just talk about our perversions or our weirdness.
No, I think it absolutely should come out because I think everybody's like this and we're just talking about it.
Oh, you mean when I say come out, I mean it shouldn't be pulled off the podcast.
Oh, I thought you were saying don't air this.
No, air all of it.
Ah, yes. Holy shit. How about a guy told me the other day, hey, enough of the barking. Guess what? Banned
from
my Twitter.
Who said enough of the barking?
I don't know. Some asshole. Listen, if they could say, oh, I like the... There's some people, they didn't like the Suicide Squad. I recommended it. That's fine.
But they didn't like your movie recommendation.
No, but they weren't saying it like a dick. They go, oh, it wasn't my cup of tea. I'm a Marvel guy. And I'm like, I understand. But and other people say they had a good time with that movie. Yeah, I had a fucking great time with that. I think I'm going to see that again. But I also want, I told you, I want to see Sausage Party, and I want to see, sounds bad, I want to see Sausage Party, but I want to also fucking, I want to see the other thing, fucking, what's the other one with the moms, Bad Moms, you see that?
No.
You don't watch any movies?
I don't watch comedies.
You, why? Do you think it's, now listen, as a comedian.
I never laugh at
you know what I don't like? That's funny. That never, is funny that never. You don't like that.
I'll tell you, Sausage Party I liked a lot.
Yeah. Well, you're not biased now, he's your buddy.
Well, yeah, if he was a great buddy, he'd have been on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I know him.
Or you.
We're not friends. I like Seth very much. Yeah. Friends are like.
Friends is what we're. I feel you're from my friend.
Yeah, you're I consider you a friend.
We're becoming friends now.
Amy
sure.
is coming on next week. She's a friend. Because I asked her if she would come on, and she said yes.
Yeah.
Other people.
Otherwise, it's just kind of like showbiz friends.
I know them.
Yeah, they're quite. You like seeing them. It's one
I know
of those
them.
Things.
Yeah. It's different. They're friendly.
Friendly.
I've asked a couple people to appear on this podcast. And I've gotten, and it's like, oh, well, just say fucking no.
Say no, I'm busy.
Do me a favor. You want to come on? Well, yes, shit. You are.
And, I mentioned last time we were here, I mentioned Ray Longo. So I fucking went to call him the other day. He said, I mentioned you, two rings went right to his fucking voicemail. I go, really? You're screening my goddamn, you're screening my calls? Ever since he became friends with fucking Kevin James.
Is he?
Yeah, he's friends with Kevin James.
Why does he have Kevin come on this show?
I don't know, because I don't like to pull that card. I don't know Kevin like that. I know Kevin because Kevin's tight with Chris Weidman, and he's tight with
he should have money.
And he's tight with Longo, and he's very and I'm very. He's every time I see him, he's super nice. Last time I seen him was at Chris's his son's CJ's birthday party in the backyard. That was a little bit ago, maybe a couple months, and we were playing. You ever play what's the thing with the
Matt's putting two fingers in his asshole.
Did you ever play what's it? What's the thing? Cornhole.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it's cornhole.
How did you know what the fuck
it
was?
I probably played a different version
than you
have.
How did you know what I was
talking about? A lot of people play that.
That's it's a fun game. Cornhole. Right away, Jimmy's thinking it's something perverted.
Well, what is it? I've never heard of it.
It's got, you got like two boards with like a hole, like two, like, how do you
Is that it? Like when you throw a beanbag?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, what a fun game.
I just call beanbag toss.
And I remember Kevin James that I fucking like Pixels, the movie he did with Adam Sandler, because my kids liked it, and it was one of those things that, so I like the movies that are not torture for you take your kids to, and it's not torture for the adults. That was a good movie.
Kevin, I know Kevin a long time.
Yeah,
he's a really sweet guy.
Nice, what a nice guy.
One time I saw him outside the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah,
and he was with Joe Pesci, and Pesci gets into a cab.
Love Pesci.
Yeah, me too. Everyone loves Pesci. So I walk over to him, and I'm like, Kevin. He's like, hey, Jim. And I'm like, could you introduce me to Pesci? I had to ask him. So I've never seen Pesci again. And he goes, yeah, Joe, this is my buddy Jim. So actually, Pesci gets out of the cab.
Oh, what a...
And I took a photo with him.
Oh,
he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He wanted nothing to do with it. Yeah, but he was nice because I was Kevin's buddy.
That's fucking great. No, Kevin's just such a nice guy.
He's awesome.
He's such a nice guy. I just feel like... He's probably got so many people. I feel like guys like him, like even though they're super nice, they're not putting up any barriers. I don't want to be one of those guys to try to get close to anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I like him, and he's always like, oh, you know, he's
being close is Longo, different than coming on the podcast.
But Longo doesn't answer my calls sometimes.
Well, he's friends with Kevin.
He screens the calls. He has that's it. I go, you got a new friend.
He's with his Hollywood people.
And, you know, so now when he's trying to call me, I'm gonna just hang up. I go, I got Jimmy calling in, you know, because I got friends too.
You certainly do. What do you think about BJ Penn coming back fighting Ricardo Lamas October 15th? UFC Fight Night Manila. Again, number four featherweight, obviously, Ricardo Lamas.
And that's so it's at 145, correct? You said, what did you say?
He's the fighting featherweight.
Featherweight's 145?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting, man. BJ, man, see, that's a BJ, tough fight to take. The thing is this. Well, I mean, BJ's a legend, and there's the BJ that was peaking when he fought Diego Sanchez, when he just looked just unstoppable, man. He went on like a tear, and it's like he was working with these brothers. I forgot what the hell their name was. It was I'm gonna fuck it up. I don't know, but they were doing a lot of
Bang Brothers.
What?
The Bang Brothers?
No. But these guys are just getting him in shape, man. And it's one of, well, he's with a great camp. I don't think a guy like Greg Jackson and Winkle John. Did I say that name right? Winkle John. Yeah. Those guys aren't going to fucking put him in there with and be in his corner if they think they're leading him to death. Like, you know what I mean? I think biggest thing about BJ is I think having the right guys around him to push him. You know what I mean? I know he's like one of those loyal dudes. He's always got his posse with him. But, you know, BJ's getting up there. Is that what you can say?
How old is BJ? Yeah. 34, 35? Or is he
he's
older?
A little bit younger than me. I fought him when I was 28.
You think he's 37?
Yeah, he's 37.
Oh, okay.
He's 37. So, I mean.
How old is Lamas? Has Lamas fought since Holloway? I'm sure he has. That amazing fight with Max Holloway.
The thing is, when BJ fought Frankie Edgar, especially that last one, it just didn't feel like the BJ that I... It's definitely like the BJ that I fought and the BJ that was going on at tail. Something was off. So maybe they got that fixed. You know what I mean? I just don't like to see guys that are like shadows of themselves. And I'm not... Listen, and I, first of all, BJ, I consider him a friend, man. If he's in town, he's giving me a call. I like BJ Penn. You know? I mean, I've always had a good mutual respect for him. One time he was doing a book signing years ago. And it was in Huntington, Long Island. I have a school there. Just without even calling up, and he just showed up, and he just showed up with his posse, and it was right after he lost to Frankie. This is when he just lost to Frankie the first time, and he was in town.
What year was that? Do you mind? Was it 5 years ago?
It had to be, because I was just building. I had my smaller school, and right next door, I was building my new school, which is 12,000 square feet. So it must have been around like 5 or 6 years ago. So I remember. You know, he just stopped into town, man, with sunglasses on. You know, he just had that fight. He stopped in to say hello, to pay some respects. We walked next door to show him the new school. I respect BJ a lot. I hope that with the right training and stuff, that he comes back and he could be like the old BJ, man. You know what I mean? He is young enough. And a lot of times with his time off, and he's a martial artist, it's not like his skill set. He's got to learn a big skill set. It's about just having what he's had and just... having the ability to use it the way he used to use it.
How old is Ricardo Lamas?
He's 34, and his last fight was against
it Max was Holloway. Okay, because that was an amazing. Oh, he can still stand there and. Oh, bang. No. Well.
Well, listen. I mean, that guy's. You know, he went five rounds with Jose Aldo. Am I? That's correct. Correct. Chris, the producer. I'm going to say I'm 90% sure.
I'm guessing that if I believe that,
because that was a little while ago. Yeah,
in New Jersey, I think.
And he was coming back strong that last round. So I mean, the guy's got experience. And
it was Jersey, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's something. Listen, anytime BJ fights, obviously the world's going to watch. And as a friend, I just wish him the best and hope he's all good. Now.
It's hard to give up when you're an athlete. It's hard to give up the ritual, the fighting, all they all say, baseball players, football players, all athletes say the same thing. Boxers. Well, it's really hard to walk away.
Did you hear what Cowboy was saying earlier when he was saying that, that feeling, and he's doing all this crazy stuff, but he said there's nothing like that feeling of not even when you win, of course, obviously it's the most amazing thing, but even the feeling right before when you're walking out,
right?
You could be either have the best camp, be with the best team. You could feel invincible. You could be you're most likely a dangerous, dangerous person, but it doesn't matter, man. You could have all your T's crossed, I's dotted, one wrong move and it's not your night. So just knowing that is a rush in itself.
This is UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
All right, Matt is still in the bathroom, but we got Bob Saget on the phone. What's up, Bob? It's Norton. How are you?
Not much. How are you?
I'm very good. Matt's coming back in right now. He's in the bathroom. So we'll just start.
What is he doing in there?
You know, Matt's a weird guy. I don't know what he's doing. I'm going to assume he's just using the restroom for appropriate reasons. But I think Matt has a creepy vibe and he keeps it hidden. I'm not sure.
Right. So there's a chance he's...
without a doubt.
He could be masturbating while he's taking a crap.
I don't know if there's enough time to do all that, but we will absolutely ask him as soon as he gets back in. We just started the interview without Matt because he's in the bathroom.
That's pretty much all I want to talk about.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to go do some road stuff as we do.
Where are you now?
I'm in L.A.
Oh, okay. So it's pretty early for you right now.
Yeah. And then not bad. You know, not as not when they get us up at like 5 in the morning and they tell us to do 6 in a row. That's
yeah.
always fun.
So what are you doing? Are you just kind of doing a little tour press?
Yeah, I've been working on a new special, but I don't want to do it till the election's over because I just don't want to do it till it's over.
You know, it's funny, man. I'm shooting in October and in Washington, D.C., and part of the problem was I had a bunch of Trump shit that I have to take out because – here comes Matt. I had a bunch of Trump shit that I had to take out because we are going to be –
we're undecided. We don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know what's going to happen. Matt Serra, this is Bob Saget. Is,
Bob, awesome. huge fan, Bob. How are you?
Oh, my God. Are you okay mentally?
Who, me?
Yeah, anybody that likes me, I'm very suspect.
Oh, shit, man. Yeah, no, I'm pretty twisted. That's probably why I like you. And I think it's
That'd
just so,
good.
I think it's hysterical, man. I see your stand-up, and I love how you're so, for the people that have never seen your stand-up, dirty as shit, man, raunchy, and people
well,
that know you from
funny.
The-
Well, we'll talk about it on the air, because
we're on the air, bro.
Oh, we are on the air.
Oh, we're on the air, man. I'm not saying,
Well, let's talk about it when we're on the air. that's called a guy that doesn't listen or understand anything.
No, I like that, though. It means we're having a nice, natural chat.
Yeah.
You didn't say anything.
No, you're in the bathroom.
We are on the fucking air, right,
yeah,
everybody?
Of course we are.
All right, I'm just making sure I'm in the fuck.
Matt was finishing up in the bathroom. Bob called in, so I'm like, fuck it, let's just start.
No, this is more fun when it's just
now. What were you doing in there? And you don't have to be graphic, but
it wasn't a number three, Bob. But it was.
So
it wasn't a number two.
You could have been doing 2 and 3. How much time did you have?
When I first get here, we have a routine where I offer, because I'm a nice guy, I offer Jimmy the bathroom first because I know I usually sit down for a bit. But I took care of that already.
And do you eat healthy or does it smell really bad?
You know, let me tell you, Bob, it's worse when I do eat healthy. So I've been eating a good, and it's a good.
When you eat healthier, your poo smells much more delightful.
When you eat healthy.
Yeah.
I beg to differ, Bob.
Like a lot of prime rib and a lot of pork products, that makes it smell sweet and nice.
You know, when I eat, like I don't eat vegetables, but when I used to fight, I used to try to clean out my system, and I'd eat, like, broccoli and stuff, maybe because my system wasn't used to it, so I'd go from, you know, eating regular, then I tried all the vegetables
and
stuff.
Yeah, that really does mess you up. I've been trying to eat more green as well, and gas, you can't forget that.
It's fucking horrendous. So these guys better hope I don't go near the vegetables.
Is good. We're off to a flying start.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was saying before that I just love that your stand-up, which I think you've got dates coming up, which I'm excited about, that you were just, you're so fucking raunchy and you're dirty.
Well, you know what? I don't think I am. No? I started talking to Jim about it while you were taking a crap and masturbating. But I actually have been less dirty, I thought. And then I end up writing a piece that has like, you know, my dick's getting sucked in it. And it's like, I don't even talk like that. But all of a sudden it just fits that particular piece of material. And I'm comparing it to what we're doing to the earth, you know? So I'm trying to get relevant subjects out, but get the 19-year-old to listen. Because nobody wants to hear anything that has a message anymore.
Well,
but
do you want to put a message with your stand-up?
I'm trying to, you know, I'm doing a lot of different, I guess, more mature stuff. I mean, my mom passed away, and I'm making light of that, which is respectful.
Sure, I mean, as a comic, that's how we address it, right?
Yeah, that is how, when the pain hurts the most. And then I'm able to talk about her last days on Earth, which is, you know, there's humor in it, even though there's pain. There's obvious pain with it. I'm not ridiculing it. And I'm not attacking anybody else's stuff. That's the other thing that I do, which is more self-deprecating and more about my own inner pain. And then it's not like hurting somebody or telling them, you know, something they've experienced or something in the news that we just read about that's like, oh, God, what the hell is that? So
I think it's
Jim
crazy.
And I were just talking while you were taking a crap and masturbating using you.
And
using
before
your feces as lube, and I am much cleaner than I have been. But we were talking about how do you stay topical in a time, because I want to do a new special and I'm working on new material, but you want to do evergreen material, which is what your stool will never be now that you only eat meat. It'll never be evergreen.
I prefer, to be honest, I prefer, you know, I do some topical stuff. And like we were saying before, I think before we came back, man, the Trump stuff has to go. So I'm taking that out of my act because even if he would be president, I did something years ago for HBO. And I look back on it. I'm talking about Obama and Hillary when they were running against each other in 2008 in the primaries. And dating something is kind of hard to avoid doing stand-up unless it's totally evergreen where it can always be shown and you'll never know when it was shot. It's not my style because I do radio every day and we talk about everything. So that's kind of bleeds into my stand-up.
Well, and that's, I mean, you look at people like Bill Maher or Jon Stewart, if they're going out to do stand-up, there's no way you can't do what just happened that day almost. And I want to, and that's why I actually love playing the Washington area is... I deviate. I don't do a have a lot of Trump stuff. I don't want to, but you know we're in a crazy world right now. We're in a science fiction movie, so we're in living the Running Man is what we're living. So
it is kind of bizarre, you know, where we, you know, to not talk about it seems crazy. To not make fun of it, whether it's him or Hillary or whoever it is, like how do you not fucking goof on this shitty time or this crazy time or this great time or however you want to look at this period in our lives.
Right, and I continually use as a segue to just get back to my penis, and then I go right into my stuff about my kids, which is a beautiful segue, and can almost get you arrested if that's how you run your show.
Well, it's one of those things where you know, when you say you're trying to have a message in your, is there a message? Like I never try to have a message other than. This is my opinion, and here's exactly why I feel that way, and then people will agree or disagree with it. Is there a particular message you're trying to get out there?
I'm not doing that as much. No, I'm not. I'm not giving my opinions, but I am by...
Whoa, that's interesting.
Finish your sentence, I'm sorry.
He said, I am by, and he just stopped talking. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
It's difficult, by the way, to talk to people, especially when you're doing a phone thing and I'm not in the room with you. We still interrupt each other. There's nothing you can do about it.
No, it's okay.
Now, we were talking about that earlier, as I interrupt you again.
Oh, I don't care. You just came from taking a crap, and your hands are probably covered in your own poo.
I washed. Now I'm going to just start touching.
See, I don't see you right now, so I picture you as just a fucking animal.
I'm a fucking wildebeest. Yeah. But listen.
Yeah, you told me you punched people and you ate a lot of meat. I mean, guy is that? Sounds like you belong on Ray Donovan.
I also strangle people. I never saw Ray Donovan, and I keep hearing good things about it.
I don't love it.
Yeah, you probably... It sounds like you fit in.
Yeah, I might. I might try that fucking acting
thing. It's a really good show. But Jim, what I was saying was I am trying to send out more of a positive message just in the general, I guess, mantra of whatever the hell it is I'm doing, because it's still... I'm still talking about stuff that I find funny, and you know, I could do 6 minutes on leakage, you know?
I'm sorry, but the
world is more painful. I mean, I watch the news, and I just want to write a song. I still do my comedy music. It's like half my set, so it makes me want to do stuff that's more about relationships and more about just how we should treat each other as people, and then obviously turn that on its side and do something sometimes foul, sometimes actually. It's so funny. I can write so much stuff that's clean, that's like pure stand-up, and I do, and it's like a good joke, it's like a good story, or it's a good reference, or it's something really, really honest, and there's no response. And then I add rectal bleeding, or, you know, the underside of my penis head, as using it as a lighter, and I've got them in the palm of my hand.
You know, Bob, we were just talking before I was... You know, doing my number two. Me and Jimmy were talking earlier, and we were talking. Not to get back to, not to turn to Negativeville, but I just lost my mother also in December from cancer.
Did she pass away or did you lose her?
No, I knew where she was. We found her because she ended up passing away in the house.
You do. Once they pass away, you can't find them.
No, not at all. But
that's the kind of humor. My gallows humor is kind of what.
Listen, I love it.
I'm sorry, by the way.
Thank you, and I'm sorry for you too, with your mother.
Well, not if you knew her, but.
But does it make you look? And I know you have kids. I have young kids also. I have three young girls. It's like the circle of life. It's like the Lion King. But does it make you look at life differently? Like my mother, she passed at the house. She wanted to go at house like an old Italian woman, and she had stage 4 cancer. So we had to watch her last breath, which I'm not trying to get us depressed. But did it make you look at life differently?
A real upper.
Did it make you look at life differently? I mean, that's what I'm saying.
100%. And yeah. I just turned 60, which is unbelievable to me because I, you know, I feel like I'm a 38-year-old guy or something. I don't know.
You don't come off as 60. I mean, you know, your personality is not 60.
I've been dating young girls for so long, but I'm dating a woman now, which is really good. She's like 80, and she's in a hospital. So that's if I could just get her to sign the docs, then everything's going to be fine.
That's true. As soon as you come, you can put the toe tag on. Why would I say that?
No, you're right.
Why would I say that?
No, actually, I could never have an orgasm with a woman that old.
How old is your girl?
My woman is in her 30s, and in her, I guess I would say later 30s, but not really. But you can't say later 30s about your girl because she's not going to like it. So,
how'd you meet her?
Through a friend, actually, and she's just a great girl. Do you have a girl right now?
No, man. I'm you know, I
you
date,
had one.
Yeah, I did, but I date a lot.
And when you say girl,
yeah, I mean some are girls.
I mean,
some
woman.
You can say that in air quotes.
A woman.
No, I mean nobody right now. Just casual dating, and I kind of like it. But a part of me does want to be involved because it gets boring just dating different people. And like, I here's what I miss. I don't even miss fucking. I miss things like going to the movies and having that person whose opinion you respect to trash the movie with, or watching a dumb documentary with something with a pair of breasts. Like that'd be nice, just to watch
that's
a documentary
exactly,
and reach over and grab
exactly
her breasts.
What I love. Or you sit in a restaurant and you just trash everyone around you.
Honestly, dude, I do miss that. That's really fun.
Well, I've got that right now, so I'm on the rise, which is really a positive place to be, and I hope it stays there or at least can plateau there for a while rather than the downfall, because I've had, I don't know how many girlfriends. I buried them all in my yard.
Were you ever married or...
Oh, yeah. I have three children, so I have three daughters that are older. They're 90, 80. They're old. That's one of the women I've been seeing. And my daughters, they would like that if they heard this. I'm going to have them listen to this so they can hear that part.
Let me ask you, is there ever a point where you talk about your kids or something and it gets weird as a stand? I don't have any children. I talk about everything. My mother has been mad. My mother got really
time.
Mad at
if
me.
If you crap all day long, nobody's going to want to fuck you.
What's that?
If you crap all day long, nobody's going to want to fuck you.
No.
That's just the truth.
What, is that a metaphor? For, what does that mean?
No, if you're in the toilet.
Oh, shit. I'm just thinking. I'm clinching. I probably have to fuck
I was thinking about what we started the conversation with. I was just doing a callback to making a turd.
Now, have you ever, like, when you say something, because I've had my mom get mad at me for stuff I said on the radio. Like, one time, I seriously was joking. And I said something about, like, my mom. I'm like, I don't know how my dad fucks that woman. Like, I was joking, and that's the way you should look at your mom. Like, you shouldn't think you... It was a total joke, but she was really mad at me. I'm like,
yeah,
Mom, I love you. I was kidding.
I've had a lot of it. How did you resolve it with her?
I said, when I'm talking about my mother or my dad, I'm not thinking Gail Norton, my mother. It's just my mother. Like, you're just grabbing that word.
Well, that's good press for her.
From the... But you know what I'm saying? I'm not thinking, breaking it down into real literal terms, my mom. I'm not thinking of her face when I say that.
Right. I am. When I say stuff, I think about your mom's face.
She understands that. She doesn't mind it coming from you for some reason. She giggles.
There is something about your mother. When someone says something, your mother, even when Daryl Hammond and Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live, and Sean Connery and Alex Trebek, just that old, like, that's what she said. But your mother, there's something funny about making fun of someone's mother because it's so wrong. I mean, that's the woman that gave birth to the guy. You can't really... You trash someone's mother, you're either in a street fight or you're with comedian friends.
That is true. Comedians are pretty barbaric. Like, there's really nothing. Like, our friend Keith Robinson had a stroke. I don't know if you...
Christ, what the hell? That's terrible.
Yeah. A while ago. He's getting better.
How is he?
He's getting better. He's a little slowed down, but he's much better than he was even a few weeks ago. He's actually
Does he swim in a circle in the pool?
No, we're throwing him in just hoping he doesn't pop back up. He's a fucking creep. But no, we tease him. We tease him, you know, because that's what comics do. There's nothing off limits. And when Keith will come into the cellar and hang out and we're bashing each other, that's when he's laughing the hardest, is when we're treating each other like comics. So there's really nothing off limits with that. And that's kind of what makes you feel good. Like, you don't want to walk into a comedy club with your friends, and all of a sudden they're all like, hey, hi. Who the fuck wants that?
I used to be like that when I was in my 20s. I was, just overly nice, but my irreverence kind of pulled me through. But it was that I was almost like Danny Tanner on Full House as a person. I was just like a maitre d'. I was just like, so good to see you. Oh, how are you? And then usually anyone of note comedically just walks away from a person that speaks like that.
Well, let me ask you, were you like that because you were Danny Tanner on TV and all of a sudden you're like, no, I'm doing really well?
No, I got the job.
Oh, no, before.
It was when I was young, I was raised to be nice to people. Oh. You know, be nice, you know, that kind of thing, rather than be honest or be how you are.
And before I forget, let me plug Bob's dates. I'm sorry, Matt. This is out Thursday. So tonight, the 18th, he's in the Maryland Theater in Hagerstown. Tomorrow, Friday the 19th, you can catch Bob in Baltimore, the Baltimore Soundstage in Baltimore. And then the 20th, Time Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. And Sunday the 21st at the Sands Bethlehem. I was just there, actually. That's a great gig. So Bob's a really funny stand-up.
I think I was the first stand-up that ever was in there. They had a couple music acts, and I had, like, Willie Nelson open it or something. I can't remember. But I love that, and I love playing the Warner. I mean, all of the gigs are good. I mean, they're and I'm going with Mike Young, who's a good friend. And so I'm actually really looking forward to it. And then next week, after blowing out 4 days of whatever profane new stuff I'm working on, and then some of the other stuff that I have that the audience actually wants, which always makes me happy. That, you know, and like I do my comedy music, which isn't my comedy music's not bullshit. You know, it's like there are songs I write that are about, you know, a dog that licked my balls, and the audience likes it and they sing it with me because they know it, and nobody gets hurt. But then I come back and I shoot a Fuller House episode next week. So literally.
Shit. Listen,
my bipolar life has not stopped.
Dude, I can't goof on that, man. My wife loves the Full House. She has my kids
it's
watching.
It's unbelievable.
They love it. No, they love it. That's like, I mean, they're obsessed. Now they got the Fuller House. I used to think, oh yeah, they're watching Full House. That's great on Netflix. What harm could that bring? And then, you know, fucking DJ's going to a makeout party. She's anorexic. She's dropping dead on the stand. I'm like, what the fuck are my kids watching?
Yeah, you got to talk. Well, the show was written so you parents would have discussions with the kids. So
yeah, that's true.
But now, and I always heard all these 30 years that it was never. It's never been off television. Full House. That it's been on Nick at Night or ABC Family when it was on. It's literally never went off TV, which has not really happened with any show ever. And you know they're not going to be running the Cosby Show anytime soon. You know, so that's pretty much the best thing that ever happened to Full House.
No, yeah, they're obsessed with it. You know what I'm obsessed with? And I don't want to bring up, I hope it's not a negative thing, because it's a cold classic with certain circles. It's fucking Dirty Work, man. I mean, I know.
Dirty Work? Oh, I'm proud
dirty,
of that.
What are you saying? What's Dirty Work, Jimmy?
Yes.
Aren't you a friend with Bob Saget?
I love Bob Saget.
How dare you to even ask me?
I don't know what Dirty Work is.
What the fuck?
I don't know a lot
dirty
of
Dirty Work.
You want me to
yeah,
smack him?
It's a movie that you would have been great in, actually. It's a movie that's
a snuff film?
Donald wrote with Frank Sebastiano and Fred Wolf. And Frank was the original writer of it. And then it was an MGM movie that I directed. And it starred Norm and Artie Lang. And it was Chris Farley's last movie. And,
oh, wow.
And Don Rickles was in it. Jack Warden.
Oh, man, it's fucking
Chris
Jesus.
Chris McDonald, Chevy Chase. It was really quite a special, quite a interesting, hard thing to do. And people love it. You know, it was a 15-year-old boy's movie. But we were released the weekend that Michael Jordan was playing his last couple games with the Bulls, so our audience, the 15-year-old boys, didn't show up, and you knew you were fucked by the studio when the poster said "coming soon."
let me ask you though, because I know you're saying it's a 15-year-old boy movie, but I heard before in interviews with Norm Macdonald and Artie Lang how, and even yourself, it was supposed to be a raunchy fucking movie.
Yeah, it
no?
was an R-rated movie. They made me cut 6 minutes out of it, and I fought it, but I wasn't in much of a position. It was my first feature directing, and it was not something they would let us leave in. Really funny shit, too. I would like to do a director's cut, but Norm's been talking about making a sequel called Dirty Work 2, and then the byline below it is, "Keep Artie Alive."
No, listen. You should see it. It's a fun movie. Well, anytime it's on,
I
watch.
Love there. I mean, I Norm. You know, we're all of the same mold. I mean, I love Norm. I love Artie. I mean, they're our friends, and so it was a special experience, and people really do respond well to it.
Yeah, what was something? What was something you had to cut out of it that you wanted to keep in?
I'm sorry, Jim?
What was something you had to cut out of it?
The thing that was great was I had these doubts. There was a scene that the guys had written where Norman Artie wanted to get back at these frat guys who were real assholes, and they're in the movie, but you don't see what really fuels their anger. What Norman Artie do, the premise of the movie is they need to raise $25,000 to buy Jack Ward and their father a new heart. And so they decide to go into a business where they screw people over for money. And so somebody says, my boss is treating me bad, and David Koechner was an asshole, and Trailer Howard was his, working for him. And so Norm pretended that they had dead hookers in the trunks of his brand-new cars on a live car commercial. And they weren't dead hookers, but they pretended they were dead for the purposes of ruining this guy. So they got paid to do that. So the thing that's in the movie. What was cut from the movie is they go to this frat house because these guys are being real assholes, and they take a box of donuts, and they hand it to the guys, and the guys open the donuts, and they go eating them all after they've been assholes to Norman Artie. And at the bottom is a Polaroid picture, and the Polaroid is Artie and Norm naked with donuts on their dick.
That's hilarious. So
we used like five donuts on Artie's dick and like six or seven on Norm's. And the way we did it was, you know, it was a little more civilian, a little more guerrilla. We basically just put underwear on them with a dowel, just a wooden dowel, and stacked donuts on them and just airbrushed out that they made them look naked. And so it looked like they had erections. Now it would be PG-13, but... that was one of the things. And there was
you know, it'd be really funny if you had put like six on Norm and only two on Artie. That would have been great. Like two.
We talked about it, but we didn't want to hurt him that bad. He was wearing the producer Bob Simons just kept wanting real tight shirts on Artie, like the, you know, take a guy who's got a little bit of girth to him and just make the tightest possible shirt you could put on him.
You know? Like Philip Seymour Hoffman in Boogie Nights. The greatest shirt ever was that fucking shirt, that Scotty shirt that he wore with his little gut hanging out of it.
Yeah. You know, God damn it! His death's a. You mentioned certain people, and now that I'm fucking 60, which just seems impossible. It seems like only yesterday you were texting me, you wanted me to jerk you off because you thought I was some girl.
That is true. I sent Bob one time years ago a text message that was meant for a massage therapist who jerks me off.
And how'd it go?
I said, hey, I need a hand. Are you busy? And it was, and Saget wrote back, what? And I'm like, oh, it was meant for a girl who, that was our code word. Hey, can you lend me a hand? And she would come over and give me a hand job.
And I said, hey, dude, this is Bob Saget. You know, it's Bob. It's Bob. But if you want me to do it, I mean,
you were a good egg about it.
Maybe be there in an hour.
You were a great guy about it. You didn't judge me. You didn't scold me. You did offer to help out. I mean, it was actually
hilarious because you went, sorry, I thought you were this girl who really jerks me off. And then you went, she really does.
Well, it's weird. I don't want you to think it was to you. That's just too weird and homoerotic. I don't want to think I was hitting on you. Hey, so let me plug your dates again before we wrap up. Thursday the 18th, which is tonight. You will be at the Maryland Theater in Hagerstown. Friday, tomorrow night, back Baltimore Soundstage in Baltimore. I don't know why I'm saying that with a fucking Baltimore accent. I'm such a fucking fake. Saturday the 20th, the Warner in Washington, D.C. And then Sunday the 21st, the Sands Bethlehem in Bethlehem, PA. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again, man. Me too.
And you know I'll be in. I can't wait to come in. I mean, I was in a couple times with you and Opie and coming in to plug that play I did. And
I loved it.
And going out, and that was such a good experience. That was, like, really, really special to me. But then when I go do stand-up, there's something so freeing about it. Because you're just, and that was like the kind of play that I would do a million more performances of because it's about as close to perfect writing, and my stand-up is not, but I'm working on it, and I'll have a new special. Where are you shooting yours in October?
October 7th, I'm shooting at the Lincoln Theater. It's where I shot Monster Rain for HBO in 2007, so I wanted to return there and shoot again. Oh, yeah, that's right, you shot in New York. It was four of us shooting for HBO.
Ball.
That's right, you were at the Skirball, and then me, D.L. Hughley, and Dave Attell shot at the... at that gig, at the Lincoln.
Yeah, with the same producer, John Irwin, if I recall.
That's right. He was very good, too.
Yeah, he's really good. He's a nice guy, which you can't say. Who's ever said that about a producer?
I know, normally. Well, we all say it, but none of us ever mean it. You know, when publicly, we never badmouth producers, but we all do say it.
No, most of them are scumbags.
Yep.
And Bob, before you take off, do you watch any of the mixed martial arts? You ever watch UFC or anything?
I once in a while turn it on, but I don't need to. I just put on CNN now. I mean, it's I don't want to say things are fucked, but I mean the Brazil doesn't have water. Hasn't that hurt their business forever?
I think there's so many problems in Brazil. I mean, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another. I mean,
but they invented bikini waxing. They did some good stuff.
That is true. Thank God. Every time I see a nice clean asshole, I'm like, thank you, South America.
There's nothing like a good clean asshole. The thing is, they go and invent that, but you don't realize it's getting cleaned with, like, green water.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess down
there. So it's not even, you really can't, if you like that kind of thing and you want to put your tongue back there, which might gross out some people, but there's a lot of people into it, you know, you can't do that now that you know the water's not good. So the water they use, well, do they use water when they do a wax? Yeah, they got to. I mean, they got to wash something down, don't they?
Oh, shit, now I'm getting depressed. Let's talk about our dead mothers again.
I'm sorry about your mother. And
God, I'm sorry about yours, buddy.
Give Keith my best, would you?
Oh, man.
Yes, I will, buddy. I'll see him probably tonight.
And nice talking to you, Bob.
That strokes, you know, there's nothing wrong with them, and you can get through them. And I know that's what was happening before this podcast started. There was a lot of strokes going on.
And there will be as soon as we're done. It's what we do.
I can't wait. You guys hang up. You just jerk off.
Yeah. We start actually, as we're wrapping up, we start. You'll hear us spitting in our hands.
I'm pulling down my MeUndies now.
I can't jerk off with my own spit. You know, I can't either.
Nah, Lupiderm, some kind of lotion. There's been times,
Bob.
No,
I just get other people. I'll get anybody. The mailman, anybody can spit in my hand. It just can't be my own. I have a phobia.
You know what's embarrassing is there's times when I'm traveling and I'll go into a hotel, and if there's no hand, if I forget to bring hand lotion and there's none in my room, there's one time I went down to the front desk. I'm like, I got really dry skin. Now, the person knows I want to jerk off. I'm like, you have any body lotion? And the lady looked at me. She looked at me in disgust, and she's like, no, sir. I'm like, oh, fuck. Because I can't use that.
Well, Brad, I never stay in a hotel that doesn't have body lotion. Yeah. But I will tell you that, you know, and there's no vending machines usually when I stay in a hotel.
Not for lotion.
I'm a spoiled asshole, but I've earned it. I'm 60. I work hard. Yeah. Whatever. Who cares about me? But I will say that you can get lotion in a hotel. And Jim, correct me if I'm wrong. Sometimes you'll stay in the nicest suite that exists, and you'll go, okay, here's the lotion. I've got a little bit of time, and I've just got to do this because I've got a lot of nervous energy or whatever reason. And the lotion's got all kinds of eucalyptus and lavender.
Yeah, lavender. Yes.
Burn a hole through your cock. I think second degree burns.
Oh, fuck.
I don't use lotion, so I don't know what either one of you guys are talking about.
Are you serious?
No,
what do
I
you do?
Dry.
Just have you use just a woman?
No, I use my hand angrily, alone. No, no, no lotion.
Oh, so you do the dry thing. You move, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can dislocate your cock skin from the sinews that are your cock. So the shows will be this weekend, and I'm really excited about them.
Oh, man, what a pleasure. This has been an honor for me. But, I mean, I know it's not maybe not a big deal for Jimmy because you guys know
we're
each
friends,
other.
Yeah,
you guys are buddies. For me,
well, Jim and I have a thing. We've done some fun stuff together. That Montreal thing was really fun.
That was what was it, a gala?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Bob.
See how much fun it was? You don't even remember.
No, you know why? Because I was thinking about the traveling virus tour we did. That's in 2007.
Well, that actually was because we had everybody there. We had Louis. We had Tracy. I mean, that was a
Patrice was on those shows. Otto and George, Greg Giraldo. Yeah, those are amazing.
Yeah, there was that. That doesn't happen a lot where you get that. And you know, and it's amazing that last summer Amy Schumer went out with Judd Apatow, and they kind of replicated it in their own way, and they sold out big places, which is I like when comedians that I like are doing a tour and making comedy as big as rock and roll sometimes.
I like when I'm involved with it. I don't like when they're doing it and I'm not involved.
I mean, listen. I understand. But you don't use lotion, so you don't care.
Fucking
yeah, I guess
you're
I should be used to it. All right,
you
buddy.
Beat the shit out of your cock.
I really do, and it doesn't cut down on sensitivity at all.
You ever slam it in a drawer or hit it with a stapler?
At this point, I wouldn't even feel it, to be honest with you. Of course, it cuts down sensitivity. My dick is like
a
callus.
When I was doing Full House, the way Dave and John would get me to get through it is they would both hold me by the arms, and I'd go, God, I hate my cock. I hate it. And I'd try to punch myself in the cock, and they'd pull me off of it like they were getting me out of a bar fight. Because that's how I dealt with being there.
That's how you dealt with the stress?
Yeah. And meanwhile, you know, I'm doing one next week, and it's the number one show on Netflix. And kids can watch this thing. They don't know that I hated my cock years ago.
And when my kids are watching it, I'm definitely not going to let them know about that. But
well, the second season is going to be great. It's actually, I did a few of them, and it's really, they really did a good job. I mean, well, it's a freaking show. It's like Star Trek, except, you know,
they love it. No, it's being watched at the Sarah household. I'll tell you that much. Hey, man, it's been an honor. If Dirty Work 2 comes out, I'm the first one in fucking line. I'm telling you right now.
All right. It's going to be a lot of old people. You're going to need to wear special glasses.
No problem.
Take it easy. Jim, I'll see you soon, man.
Yes, buddy. Good talking to you as always.
Take care,
you
Bob.
You too.
Be
you
good,
too.
Bob.
Have a great one.
Thanks, man. Yeah, he's a good dude, man. Bob's genuinely a good guy.
He seems like such a nice guy. All right, Jimmy. Hey, listen. What another fun-filled day.
Next time we got Dana White and Amy Schumer.
Oh, that's fucking huge. Say that again. What?
Dana White and Amy Schumer next Tuesday.
I can't wait. All right, buddy. We'll FaceTime later.
Let's
okay?
go make out.
All right, bye.
This has been a Digital Media production. Find your voice.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.